Hello, everybody. Hey, yeehaw, yep. So today we thought that it'd be great if we had open mic sharing. And so what this is a time where you can come up here by your lonesome self, face the whole crowd or our whole fellowship, and share about what the Lord has taught you recently. And so this isn't just a chance to work on your public speaking. It's obviously more than that. We really want to have this time so that you can share with the rest of us how the Lord has worked in your life, so that we can not only encourage one another, but that we can also reinforce what the Lord has taught us in this past week or these past months. And so what we'll do is we'll just leave it open, and if you want to come up and share with us, you can. But I do understand that it is actually very nerve-wracking to stand up here by yourself. So if you want me to stand beside you while you're sharing, I'm perfectly fine with that. Or if you want anyone else to, if that makes you feel better, I highly doubt that they will object to it. But this is just a time where we can spend in sharing with the whole group, all of us as a group, what the Lord has been teaching us. And like, you can share in whatever language you want. English is preferable, but if you want to share and you can only share in like another language, I'm sure someone else can help translate for you. All right? So, ta-da.
Since I'm the youngest in this fellowship, I'll start first. Okay. The first thing I wanted to share was, it was actually during the question and answer period when I had a chance to ask Brother Colin a question. Oh, and by the way, for those who don't know my name, it's Minerva. So nice to meet you. Okay. So the question that I asked Brother Colin was something I really wondered because, I feel that sometimes I walk really inconsistently with the Lord. Like, I'm always wandering, or I'm attracted to worldly things, or And I just feel like I'm not walking consistently with the Lord. And so I asked him the following question. I asked him, how can we be permanently apprehended by the Lord? How can we walk consistently with him? How can we walk in the Spirit and to be consistently captivated by the Lord so that it's no longer me just wandering? And so today I listened to the sharing again on the VCA website. I just wanted to refresh my memory in case I've forgotten. And he shared with us, and it was so comforting because he shared that such an initiative comes from the Lord Jesus. If it depends on us to initiate such a walk, it's very difficult. He also shared that in the Song of Songs in the Bible, the virgin, the first cry of her heart to the beloved was, "Draw me, and I will run after you." And so Brother Kong shared that it's not that we run after him. It's that he is drawing us. And it's so that we may run after him. So how can we truly be apprehended by the Lord? It has to come from him. And I was really touched because the verse that he shared was a verse I had shared on Friday when we had our Singspiration. And I did not know the Lord would use that verse to speak to my heart again. And if you have your Bible, feel free to turn to it. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And so Brother Kong shared this verse again with us that day. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." And so, when Brother Kong shared that, he's saying that, in other words, we have to be consecrated to the Lord by the love of Christ. That is the power that enables us to run after Christ. It doesn't come from us, but it comes from him. But then, on the other hand, is there something that we need to be responsible for? Because it sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Like, you know, just let the Lord draw you, and that's it. But he says, no, we have our responsibility. And he says that we need to have a heart for him, and we need to say, "I want him, I treasure him. But I don't have the strength. Lord, you have to draw me so that I may really run after you." And so our brother also shared that if we have that kind of a desire, and if we confess that we're weak, but we really desire to be walking close to him, he will do it because it's something that comes from God. So I was really encouraged by our brother sharing that even though we're so weak, we can't walk consistently, but he's the one who will do it. And so please come up and share.
Hi. Okay, so a lot of you know I don't like birds, right? I'm really, really scared of them. But then what happened was, remember when Stephen Kong shared on the very first day? He was sharing about conscience and how the Holy Spirit is like a dove. And I always didn't really like that as an illustration in the Bible because I was like, ugh, bird. And they flutter so much, whatever, right? And they're so panicky looking. Anyways, but then when he shared that, like, you know, that the Holy Spirit is like, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, it will be encouraging and definite, but it will be gentle like a dove. Whereas when Satan, like, you know, condemns you for something, he will make you feel like it's like an avalanche, like, on you, and you'll feel so, the ultimate goal for Satan is to confuse you and make you feel, like, terrible. And, like, you'll feel like you have to keep on confessing, yet nothing, you know, you don't feel better. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, I remember times when, like, you know, I felt condemned and, like, you know, I couldn't go before the Lord. And I felt like I was so ashamed. And yet now I realize that really probably was Satan. And yet if I had held on to that, the Lord had died for me and his blood, like, has cleansed me and covers me, then I can go before the Lord. And so besides that, though, since I realized the Holy Spirit's like a dove, so then I'm like, okay, now I have a different picture in my mind. Like, the dove is more like, you know, not so, like, you know, fluttery and like scary looking, but more like, you know, gentle, like floating around, that sort of thing, right? But then I also realized that because of that, if the Holy Spirit is so, like, gentle with us, and the Lord is always so gentle with us, then we have to be aware that it's easy to shut him out and, like, ignore him. And so, so that's something I've been learning recently. Oh, and the other thing is that when I was sitting there, my heart was like, boom, 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 boom. And then I was thinking, no, I always go up and do inspiration and stuff. I shouldn't be scared. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stand up and go. And then so once I started walking, like, my heart started calming down. So a lot of times, like, Satan will make you not want to share and make you feel, like, all panicky and scared and stuff. But, like, the Lord wants you to share, then you should come up.
It looks so apprehensive. I guess I didn't have a chance to share during the retreat, but also I guess this is something that I was thinking as I was hearing other brothers and sisters share about their experiences in service and serving the Lord. And I was just, you know, some of the testimonies were very simple. And I think that's one thing that I've kind of missed is the simplicity of serving Christ and how it is just really trusting and obeying everything, you know, how to do it or, you know, maybe even what to do. God will take care of that. It's really our heart that serves the Lord first. So I didn't want to come up, but I think I can use so many excuses. You know, I'm one of the older ones here. I don't have to speak up because, you know, like, you know, this is reserved. I remember when I was, you know, younger and, you know, I was pushed to do it and stared at to do it and glared at. But I was sitting in front, so really nobody could stare at me except for, you know, maybe the cross that's in front. But really it's from within. And as Brother Stephen Call mentioned, I mean, the spiritual living doesn't come from other brothers and sisters teaching. It doesn't come from, you know, following a certain person's lifestyle or following somebody, you know, how they speak, how they talk, how they carry themselves. But it comes from within. And this knowing that about our Lord is really from that Holy Spirit that God grants us. And I think one message that is the message, so I guess the second one. The first one was about conscience, and then the second one was on intuition, and I missed the third one. But it's intuition where I got to, I guess, really sit down and listen and hear a message and write notes for once for a long time. But it reminds us that, you know, this New Testament, that, you know, this, we're no longer under the law, and the things that God has granted us in this New Testament is He's put His words into our hearts, and He is our God, and we are His people. Second point was, do not need to be taught to know God, from youngest to oldest. So even, you know, young Sunday school kids all the way to elders, we don't need to be taught to know God. And then the third one is, I have forgiven their sins and forgotten their iniquities. And these are three key points of, what the Lord really has given us to live our lives and to have the spiritual life, to exercise the spiritual life. It doesn't come from, you know, going to a seminary or adhering to rules and whatnot. But so I think that's something that is it, like the service, back to what I meant by simplicity. I remember before I had, you know, visible duties in this church, at VCA. I think I remember growing up and seeing the older ones and how they served and what they had done. And, you know, you could see that the Holy Spirit did work through brothers and sisters, and you know, people didn't just come here as if, you know, it's just another institution to do things because it's what we do here, but because there was something else. And as I think growing up, you know, I think the first service I was told that you could have was if you see litter on the ground, you can pick it up. And I think today I still cherish that. You know, first serving, like knowing that I was serving the Lord is, you know, just going to pick up garbage. And a lot of people have trivialized that example. But it's still something that, you know, has an effect on my life because it reminds me of just how simple the act was. I mean, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be, nobody has to know about it. And nobody has to see it. And, but you know that the reward, I mean, for whatever, it's picking up a piece of garbage, you may see it as something that's minuscule or insignificant, but I think the Lord really sees our heart. And if our heart is right, if we learn to trust and obey in small things like that, then we don't need to look too far ahead into for greater things. And I think this is what the Lord has been trying to speak to me because of maybe the many responsibilities I feel that I have now as I've grown up in NVCA and how much of it has taken up, I guess, time. But also know that I do have time that I can spend with the Lord and to draw close to Him and to exercise this conscience and exercise this intuition that I have. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle when, my eyes see things that need to be done, and getting them done sometimes seems more important than why we get it done. But I think that the Lord really wants us to understand every action or inaction that we have. You really have to know what you're doing. You really have to know what that motive is. And from hearing brothers and sisters like sharing, and it may seem like these services aren't great. It's not like Brother Stephen Kong going and singing or standing in front of a pulpit and sharing with us. But the ushers and all the different people that help serve brothers and sisters in this church. Everything I saw was that, it's just simplicity. Like, it's nothing else. No fancy doctrine. It doesn't tell us, how to, do this to the best possible way. But really, if I can obey the Lord in the littlest things, then I don't need to worry about the big ones. So yeah, standing up here isn't a big service. I think if the Lord prompts you to come up, and I know seems like everybody's ending off with this kind of like, come up and share, but I really think that if we are obedient to the Lord, the Lord will bless not just yourself, but there's so many people here with ears, like two ears each, and everybody's here and hearing, and I think that if we can really learn to share what God has been speaking to us, and it would really edify one another and encourage each other to see just how real God is and just how simple His love for us is.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Um,
I think there are three main points that really stuck with me this week. And the first one is, we need to grow up and not stay babies. The really ironic thing about that was that last week I actually found my first white hair. So, but I know, like during this week, even during my devos and during Stephen Kong's messages, and he would say to us, you know, we need to grow up. Like, we can't stay babies. Like, babies, they're really cute, but they're also really selfish, you know. They need to eat. They need to be changed. It doesn't matter if the parents are sleeping or anything. They just cry. And I've been finding at times, like during my devos, when I'm reading and I'm journaling, and I find that I'm still a baby in many senses. I mean, I feel like something, so I do it. I don't feel like it. I don't like it, so I don't do it. Or I don't do it happily. And I need to grow up. The second thing is, God will not entrust us to anyone else. And that's something that really hit me also this week, because it's easy for me to say, wow, so-and-so said this to me and it really helped. So-and-so taught me this. But like Dave said, like, we don't need anyone to teach us to know God, and God will teach us. He will speak to us, but we need to listen. And he's so gentle about it. You know, I remember in Devos when I was going through something and suddenly God seems to nudge me and he's like, Teresa. And what ended up was he basically let me see how I was really babyish, spoiled, but it wasn't like condemning or anything. And like, God can really teach, but just pray that like we can be more open and to listen. Third thing is, Jesus is the answer. I remember I think it was the Q&A session when Stephen Kong first said it, and it was just this one statement, Jesus is the answer. And it seemed like a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing. But in later on in the different messages, I found that it's really true. Another question that Stephen Kong asked us was, you know, are we looking to Christianity, so how to do this, what to do at certain times, or are we looking to Christ? And there actually is a really big difference, I think, because it's easy to get caught up in the methods and the ways, or maybe for me in the relationships and the status of things. And but that shouldn't be the point of things. It should always be going back to Christ. So I really like the first song that we sang today, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, because I don't want to say it's just a one-size-fits-all, because that seems to trivialize it, but in a way it is a one-size-fits-all kind of.
don't worry, it's not a message. Last Tuesday, Minerva was asking me, hey, maybe you older folks should also share. And I said, well, I have often shared messages, and there's no need. So I'm not going to share a message. Okay. Remember in the service retreat, there was one night we were supposed to give a testimony of lessons we learned from the Lord. Now, before that meeting, we asked around, and there were three brothers and sisters who put their name on the list that they prepared to share. And I said, okay, so we have three, and then, of course, we have some Chinese-speaking brothers and sisters to share. I said, well, okay, so that's good. So after the three share, all of a sudden, Mel came up. Originally, she said that she weren't going to share, but somehow the Lord gave her the burden, and she shared. And then after that, there's another unannounced sharing from Phyllis. So, I mean, you guys took up all the time. And I end up, before the meeting, I searched through my memory bank and asked myself that question. Now, of course, I mean, when it comes to service, the Lord has multiple grace upon grace that I experienced, that I recall that He's been bestowing on me many a times in an overwhelming manner. But this time around, when I was thinking about, okay, so if I was going to share the lessons we learn through service, there are two little incidents that popped up in my mind that I want to share with you. And that is why I said it's not a message. It's a story. And you know that anytime on a Sunday, if I am arranged to share a message, usually on Saturday, that's a Sabbath for me. I would not go anywhere. I would not do anything. I would make sure that I have a quiet time before the Lord. And I don't remember the year. There was this one. I think probably is right after the UBC finished their final and whatnot, and is in like probably, I would imagine, May. Is it May you guys finished the exam? So there is this one Sunday that I was going to share. And then on a Saturday, it just so happened that it's a very sunny, nice day out there. And my son Wayne was saying, well, okay, now that my exam is through, I'm going to go out and relax and have some fun with my friends. I said, okay. And then my daughter, Renee, said the same thing. I'm going to go out. Look at the sun out there. It's so warm and nice, So she also had some of her programs for Saturday. And my wife was saying to me, take a look at the sun out there. I mean, why don't you just, go out with us? We'll go to have lunch or something, and then we'll go shopping or whatever. And every part of my body yelled out, yes, yes, this is Saturday, and the sun is out there. I mean, winter's just gone, spring's just gone, and I mean, summer arrived. Every one of my family member, they have programmed, and they invited me, my wife invited me. But I said to myself, well, tomorrow, which is Sunday, I need to share. I said, well, no, I can't do that. I cannot do that. My usual habit is I usually would go to my office on a Saturday where there is absolutely nobody there, so that I can have total quiet before the Lord. So I kind of reluctantly went to the office. On a Saturday, I opened the door. There was obviously nobody there. Turned on my office light, and I sat down there. And all of a sudden, I felt kind of very lonely. I knew that all my family members, they're having fun out there, and I'm just a bummer sitting in my office. I work in the office 5 days a week, and here you go Saturday. I'm sitting in the same chair, the same desk. And I began to feel sorry for myself. You know that? And all of a sudden, it was during this time, I feel so, so lonely. And this song, the Lord used this song to lift me out of that silly loneliness. And the song is in 450. Deep down into the depth of this thy name, my God, I sink and dwell in calm delight. Thou art enough, however long the day. Thou art enough, however dark the night. And in stanza 2 of 450, it says in there, thou art enough, however great the trial. Thou art enough, however long the scene. With thee alone, there's fullness of thy joy. With thee alone, there's singing of thy song. The Lord asked me this question. Is it not enough that I'm with you? Why is that your heart is so, you feel so miserable? Why do you feel so lonely? Why do you feel so abandoned by your family member? I'm right here with you. And all of a sudden, you know, with this song, I said, yes, Lord, it is enough to just have you and you alone. And I began to sing the song. And as I was drawing near to the Lord with the song, all of a sudden, I still remember vividly to this day. I mean, the Lord just came especially close to me. So close that I have never felt such joy. Overflowing joy that was deep in my heart. It's just flowing out. To this day, I was still so thankful for the Lord coming to a lonely, miserable guy in the midst of a lonely office and comforted me that way. So the Lord, in a way, taught me a very important lesson. Whenever we feel kind of down, whenever we feel that we are all by ourselves, nobody really care, you feel you're abandoned, actually you're not. The Lord is always there. And the Lord reminds us that it is enough to have Him, nobody else. So that's the first story, or the first lesson. There's a second one. The second one is it's another song too. What it is that anyone here who is 30 and under, raise your hand. 30 and under. Oh, we have the majority. Wonderful. Let me tell you what. Why did I ask this question? Because for 30 years, I've been having this deep desire, this deep cry in my heart, to share the gospel to my father for 30 years with absolutely no response whatsoever. Now, I think I told some of you before as to how my father got saved. But what I did not tell you is the spiritual battle behind this right before he accepted the Lord. What happened was that there was this 1 month. You know that the first Sunday of each month we usually will have a gospel meeting, and then that Sunday somehow they put my name on. So again, it is me sharing the gospel, and usually in front of my house there's a little park. So as I was that again is Saturday, of course, and as I was talking to the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I mean, tomorrow is a gospel meeting, and I am to speak on your behalf. Can you tell me what should I share? As I was meditating, walking in the park, and all of a sudden, there's a voice in there remind me, why are you seeking and asking what gospel message you are trying to share? Take a look at your father. You've been trying to share the gospel message to your father for the past 30 years. And did he get saved? I said, no. He has heard all kinds of gospel messages to no avail. To this day, he would not believe in the Lord as his Savior. He will not accept Jesus as his Savior. Why are you doing this? You know, as far as you're concerned, you are just a big failure. And I know that this is the voice from the devil. But then again, the fact of the matter is, what the devil said to me was true. Was true. Indeed, I mean, there wasn't any gospel messages that my father had not heard for the past 30 years. He had heard so many gospel messages that as soon as the gospel scripture was read, he knew what the guy was going to talk about. Okay, and so the devil was challenging me. In fact, he was deriding me. He was making me, ridiculing me. He was saying that you cannot even share your gospel to your father so that he could believe in the Lord. What do you think you're doing? Trying to share a message tomorrow? This is a joke. And I was thinking more and more about the actual fact of, you know, his accusation. Well, not even accusation. He's just telling me the fact. And I got so, so discouraged to a point that I got angry with the Lord. I was so angry. I said, Lord, I've been praying to you for 30 years. And of course, I mean, time and time again, I fell and then I put him off. But then again, I pick up the subject. I talk to the Lord again, plead with him. Nothing happened. I said, Lord, I mean, and you are asking me to share the message tomorrow. This is a joke. And as I was mumbling and grumbling toward the Lord, as I was walking in the park, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. He said, you leave your father to me. You preach my gospel. This is all you need to do. You don't need to worry and concern too much about when and how your father is going to be saved. Right now, you have a message that I want you to share. And you need to just leave alone your father. I'll take care of him. Okay? But you share my gospel. And then I finally realized that it was the devil who was just trying to make shipwreck of my faith before the Lord. So I resist all his ridicule and accusation, and I share the gospel the next day by the grace of the Lord. And then next month it was the first Sunday again, and by the grace of the Lord, my father showed up, and he was actually safe. When the preacher up there have the calling, you know, it is hard enough to ask anyone who believes raise a hand. But that day, the preacher said, if there is anyone who believes, stand up. I said, for crying out loud, don't do this. I mean, nobody's going to stand up. I mean, to raise a hand, to say that, well, you know, I accept the Lord is so, so hard already. To ask a guy to stand up in the congregation, no way. But to my amazement, it was, I mean, in my own eyes, a total miracle. I saw my father standing up in the middle, and he was, if I remember correctly, he was the only one standing up. He was the only one. All the other people sitting down. So the Lord using this example to tell me that, you know, during service, there will be spiritual battles. Which side are you going to stand? Which side are you going to stay with? Obviously, we know that the reason why the devil comes is he is the big liar. He come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the Lord come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Oh, by the way, there was a song. This song is in 4:30. You know, at that time, after the Lord spoke to me, after the Lord said, you leave your father to me, you share my gospel, and all of a sudden this song, 4:30, just came out. It was a song after much discouragement. And it says, stanza one in here, keep up the song of faith, however dark the night. And as you praise the Lord, will work to change your faith to sight. To change your faith to sight. In stanza two it says, keep up the song of faith and let your heart be strong. For God delights when faith can praise, though dark the night and long. Though dark the night and long. And this is what we need to learn in here as a spiritual lesson. We need to keep up our songs of faith, even though the outward circumstance is just simply telling us that we are a joke. It's telling us that we are nothing but a failure. But if we praise Him, if we go one step further, you know, not only just having faith, but praise the Lord, then He is going to lead us into victory.
Everybody, I just wanted to take this opportunity to share with all of you something that happened to me just yesterday when I was walking around Pilgrims. And I went to Pilgrims because I was looking for a study Bible. And as I was browsing around, I kind of, there's a lot of, if any of you have been to Pilgrims before, there's lots to see, and you can spend like forever in there. So I think I was in there for a good hour or so, and I was just browsing around, and I came upon the bookmark section, and I was sort of reading all the messages that were written on the bookmarks, and I came across one where it listed out the Ten Commandments. So I read through that, and you know, some of them were pretty clear to me, while others I kind of stood back and asked, "Oh, what do they really mean?" And you know, myself as a follower of Jesus, like, am I following those Ten Commandments? So that kind of made me reflect and question, like, do I really know what each of these Ten Commandments are saying? So anyways, I went home last night, and I continue with my Bible reading, and right now I'm reading the book of Deuteronomy. And as I was continued on with that book, I came upon Deuteronomy chapter 5, and there in front of me was the Ten Commandments. And it was just so amazing because, you know, God is just so amazing, because earlier in the day I was just at Pilgrims, and you know, I sort of was questioning myself, you know, what are these Ten Commandments? And that night when I went home and I was reading the Bible, it just, God revealed to me what the Ten Commandments were. And it said it in a clearer way, which I kind of understood it more. So I just thought that, wow, God, you truly are amazing. Like, and I guess I wanted to share this story with you all because I think that all of us should be comforted and encouraged to talk to God and to pray to our Lord, because He does answer. And like, maybe not always like instantaneously, like what happened to me yesterday, but if we truly pray to Him and talk to Him, He does answer us. So just wanted to praise the Lord for what He did yesterday.
Thanks, Kevin. The service retreat was the first time I heard so many deacons in our church called Kel Kevin. It was great. I loved it. I enjoyed it so much. I don't have a lot to say. You like that? Pictures. Drawing pictures during the sermons. I don't really have a lot to say. I just really wanted to come up and say one thing that I really got out of the service retreat. I was really glad that when we were just sharing on the last day, and Maria said, we're going to hear a lot of, I don't remember exactly what she said. I was too busy being embarrassed of people laughing at me. But people, I think Maria was saying something like, we're going to hear a lot of things, but if we can just find out one thing the Lord is really trying to speak to us and we hold on to that, that's good enough, right? So I think the thing that the Lord's really been trying to get across to me for the last little while is that I have to grow up. In the sense that I really like to depend on other people around me. I remember a couple of weeks ago when we were in Sunday school with Uncle Alfred, he was saying, we were talking about Lot, and we were saying something like, we have a lot of Lots at this church, because Lot was a guy that didn't really stand up on his own two feet to follow the Lord. He was a guy that always just followed Abraham around, right? So Uncle Alfred was saying, we have a lot of Lots. We have a lot of guys following people around, but not a lot of people that are really standing up and doing their own thing for the Lord, getting to know the Lord themselves. And then when we were at the service retreat, Stephen Kahn was saying the same thing again. He was saying, we were asking him questions. We were asking him, how do we, now since Brother Xi left, we're missing an elder. Like, should we have, somebody else come replace him, whatever, right? And then he was saying, if Christianity is what you're after, if all you want is Christianity, then fine, go find yourself a new leader and follow him, right? But if Christ is what you're after, you shouldn't be doing that. All you need is Christ. You got to stand up on your own two feet, and you got to follow Christ. So I think
what I got out of the retreat, what I've been, what the Lord's been trying to speak to me in the last little while, is I got to grow up and I got to learn to stand on my own two feet and really follow after the Lord myself, which is kind of hypocritical because I have Kel up here with me. But I'm going to be working on that.
Yes, the old fogies. I guess we don't share with the young people very much as a group, but I really thank the Lord that we have Brother Kong here for the past 2 weeks, and for all the meetings I happen to be able to attend to most of them, I think all of them. And yet, I lost my notebook. I took some notes, but I was trying to find it last night, but I couldn't find them. So I was trying to think back, and I didn't get a chance to listen to the recordings as well. But I think I remember him repeat a couple sentences almost in all his sharings. And the first one is, when he started, he said that he's not coming, he's not prepared to preach this time. He just wants to share what's on his heart. And that's, and then we all know that he's talking about spiritual exercise. So after I heard that, I kind of felt that this is what's on the Lord's heart, that through our brother, he wants to communicate with us that he wanted us to have, like, start doing this, like, to practice what we have heard, which is in the Lord's heart, like, this spiritual exercise of our, well, of what he shared, the three components, because that's what been a lot of times missing, like, and that's where, that's why we ended up having a lot of problems. So that's the one thing. And then I think I remember him repeat another sentence, which is what Teresa just shared, that he said the Lord loves us too much that he would not entrust us to anybody else but himself. That all our lives, that he will be the one that is teaching us, guiding us, and seeing us through. And we are older, and we believe in the Lord also for many more years than a lot of you here. And that is so true in our life, that he indeed is the one who who teaches us. And although we a lot of times look up to older, like elderly brothers or sisters trying to get help, but as our brother reminds us once again, that he, the Lord himself, is truly the one that is responsible for our lives. And that is so, so that's so good to know. And then I also felt that his illustrations are very, very easy to remember. Like, I remember he used a lot of examples in his sharing. And one of the things is, he said that a lot of times we say we don't know the Lord, and we pray and we ask, but then it seems like that we never got open to know him. And yet in the verse it says that the Father delights to show, to reveal his Son in us. And he used the illustration of a couple have a newly baby. And when anybody visit that family, the first thing they will show forth is the baby. And that kind of have a very big impression on my heart because, you know, we are parents, although, you know, the baby is no longer a baby, but still remember when they were born, how much we want to share the joy with, you know, all the, you know, families and friends that we have. And I can just, you know, sense, I can just almost see how our Heavenly Father wants to, you know, reveal his Son in us so that we all get to see how good he is and how much, you know, his love for us. So he also used a lot of other examples that kind of, you know, stay in my mind. So that's what I'm going to share. And then failure, I want to share with all of you also. Last Tuesday, after prayer meeting, I was having an argument with a sister over service. And then I knew that she wanted to do something, and I don't think that is that is good for her or is not necessary. So although I know that I cannot change because she's determined, but I still want to be to confront her and try to make her not do it. So after prayer meeting, I talk to her, and of course, you know, the result is what I expected. And then we ended up, you know, into a big argument right in church before we left. So at the end, you know, she left also very, of course, very unhappy. I left. And when I got home, I was really bothered by the event. But I knew that not what the Lord wants. No matter how right I see the matter is, I shouldn't react that way. So I kind of quiet myself down a little bit and then call her. And yet, I couldn't get through to her. So the next day I called, and the Lord gave me grace that I apologized for what I said to her and asked for her forgiveness. And then she also, you know, softened her opinion on this matter. And then we ended up having a very good conversation. So I really think that this is the way we, you know, exercise what the Lord had taught us in small things to obey him and to just follow his leading, no matter what we think that we are right on, or, you know, the best for anything else, but we need to really follow him. Okay.
So, talking about babies there, last week, Easter weekend, I spent my Easter weekend on vacation, went down to San Fran to visit my sister and Albert and the two kids and my one-month-old nephew, Asaph, right? So, I was there for that one-month-old celebration, and that was pretty fun. And I didn't really get to spend too much time with Asaph because he was, like, sleeping the whole time. And on the rare occasion, he would wake up, cry a little bit, and drink milk. But that's about it. So I spent most of my time with the other two, Abigail and Afia. And they're so cute and fun to play around with. Very tiring to play around with them, too. But anyways, since I'm up here, I'm supposed to somehow relate this to God. So, one of the interesting things I noticed was, like, looking back and sort of interrelating that with Stephen Kong's messages somehow. One interesting thing was the topic of conscience. Because, you know, I looked at, like, Abigail and she has a, you know, the common response, right? So, like, if she's doing something wrong, she sort of knows it. And then my mom would come in with a rod. Abigail, you dada. Abigail, do you want to be disciplined? And then Abigail would go, and then she'd be scared, and then she would sort of hide. And then, on the occasion where she, you know, she continues being bad, then you know, my mom would hit her, and then she'd, you know, start crying and stuff. And so that's Abigail, you know, the normal response. But with Afia, it's a little bit different. She's 1 year old, and her conscience isn't quite developed yet. And the thing is, also Albert it doesn't really have the heart to discipline her because she's so cute. But my mom is a little more, you know, immune to Afia's cuteness. When Afia does something wrong, well, the thing about Afia is she often smiles and laughs when she's doing something wrong and she knows that she's doing something wrong. You know, she's laughing, like, yeah. And then, so my, you know, my mom would then, you know, see her doing something wrong, and she'd come up with the rod, and, you know, Afia, you dada. You know, Afia, do you want to be disciplined? And then Afia's reaction would be like this. and then my mom would be like, okay, put out your hand, and then she puts out her hand. And then my mom would hit her hand, and then Afia's reaction is this. Ow. And then she continues doing whatever she was doing, as if, like, that didn't really, like, hurt her much. So, and then you know, she'd do what she's doing, and then my mom would, like, be, you know, again, you know, do you want to be disciplined? And, and then do the same thing over and over again, and... Yeah, so it doesn't really work too well for Afia. And, and you can sort of see that, I guess, on one hand, you know, her conscience hasn't really developed. And on the other hand, she, I guess, sort of thinks of it as kind of a game or something. So, that was really cute. And, you know, like, that was something that struck me. And I took a video of it while she was doing that. But, as reflecting back on that and thinking about the conscience, right, and how Stephen Kong was talking about the conscience and we need to, you know, exercise the conscience and stuff, and, like, you know, looking at Afia, you can see that, you know, that's sort of like an undeveloped conscience, and a lot of the times, actually, that's sort of how we are, where, you know, we know that we're doing something wrong and we're still doing it. And then the Holy Spirit would come and, you know, like, tell us that, oh, you're doing something wrong. And then we're like, okay, well, I'll just continue doing it anyways. And, you know, we might go, ow. You know, like, you might get disciplined a little bit, ow, but then we just continue on sinning. Or sometimes even, like, you might be caught in the middle of sinning, and then, you know, like, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, you know. And then you're still like, oh, but I'm in the middle of sinning, so I'm just going to continue, finish off this sin first, and then I'll go back to God and confess. But you know, like that's not you know, a good thing either, right? So like you know, what we need to do is, like, you know, whenever the Holy Spirit, you know, convicts us, right, we need you know, like to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and, you know, listen to his prompting and obey his prompting, right? And you know, that's the way that we train up our conscience to be able to be sharp and to be sensitive to God's leading. And I guess that's one of the things that I've learned sort of from listening to Stephen Kong, and also from observing, you know, Abigail and Afia. So I think, yeah, that's one thing that I found really cool.
Well, let me tell you guys, just like coming up here was like a very big spiritual warfare for myself, because I was, as Sam was sharing, I was at the same time continuously hearing Satan on my other side saying, "Oh, Phyllis, do you think you really can come up here and share? Like, given how you were so tired during the retreat and you weren't even able to say a complete sentence properly, and what makes you think you can come up here and share tonight?" But then, as I was listening to Uncle Alfred sharing about spiritual warfare, I was kind of really encouraged by what he shared, and I did sense the Lord speaking to me and telling me that you should come up here and share. So I just want to say, for those that don't really know what we're talking about this retreat that we had during the weekend, basically, some of us had an opportunity to go to Surrey, where we were able to share with one another about our service. And also, we had an opportunity to listen to what Brother Stephen Kong has to say to us. So I guess there's just two things that in particular touched me during the service retreat. They were just really little things, but I did feel the Lord taught me something through these two things. I guess the first thing is about, I found it very funny when Brother Stephen Kong brought this term up called 全时间服事, and it's about how he coined the term full-time ministry or full-time minister. Because even though, like, I guess I was exposed to this concept before, or like in a theoretical sense, like, I heard about this before, but for some reason, this time when he shared about that, I really felt the Lord, like, pointing his finger towards me. And I find that a lot of times, like, we may have a lot of expectations on maybe people around us that are in the full-time ministry, but, like, I hardly think about myself or consider that we are actually all called to be high priests, and we are all full-time ministers before the Lord. And, like, I would think to myself, like, how many times have you failed the Lord in your walk when, no matter what we are doing, we really should be a testimony for him? And why don't you look at yourself? Like, how many times have you failed the Lord in your walk with Him? And I find that really true. Like, a lot of times, why do we have such high expectation on others when we fail the Lord ourselves so many times? So I feel that was a very good reminder for myself, and how we're not just serving the Lord on Sundays or Tuesdays or Fridays, but we find ourselves sometimes serving mammon, say on other days of the week. So it was a good reminder for myself how we truly are called to be servants for the Lord in each and every moment of our lives, and we really need to obey and follow the Lord in what He has called us to do. And another thing that really touched me during the retreat was on one of our group sharing times. And I remember during the second day, I brought up a question after Brother Stephen Kong shared about training. And I was asking the group, I go, what are your thoughts about training after listening to Brother Kong's message? And again, I was really encouraged by what Uncle Alfred shared, because I think in the past, for myself, there was this one period of time where I find myself becoming very close to a spiritual companion that I had. And I think I started relying on that person in a very, I guess, big way, that I found myself communicating with that person more than, I spend more time communicating with that person more so than I would be speaking to the Lord. And in a way, I feel that was not a very edifying thing. And I think the Lord had His dealings with me, and He took that person away from me. And so I find that it's very true a lot of times. We would be weak and we start relying on people. But it's truly, I think the Lord really wants us to only rely on Him and Him only. So that was a big lesson for myself. And I guess another thing, I guess the last thing I want to share, because we don't have a lot of time, was, is about miracles. And I guess sometimes you guys would find me very serious when I'm extremely tired, or I would start stuttering and not knowing what I'm saying. So just please forgive me if you find me in that situation. Okay. I guess in the past 2 weeks, I was quite stressful. I think because around last Saturday, well, actually a few days before the Saturday, 2 weeks ago, I suddenly had a few interview offers, and I was really surprised by them because I totally didn't expect to have those opportunities. And I guess when I was planning my schedule, I didn't really allocate time for those interviews. So, at first I was thinking, okay, Lord, is there a reason why I suddenly have all these offers? And so I started praying about it. And then on the Saturday before Brother Stephen Kong came to share with us, that Friday I was not feeling too well. But then I knew on Saturday morning I had to go to that interview. So I spent a lot of time using my own wisdom to prepare for that interview. And I was really busy with trying to think about all the different types of work experience, supervisory experience or leadership experience I have had. And I spent a lot of time putting my portfolio together. But then, it was through this experience I learned that God has His own timing, and also I shouldn't be putting God into my own frame of reference and expect Him to work in the way I want Him to work in my life. And the reason I say that is because I was also basically allowed to choose what interview time I want. And because I wanted to actually go to Brother Stephen's sharing at 10:30 in the morning on Saturday. So I told the interviewer that, why don't we meet at 9 a.m. And so, oh, and then he said, oh, that's fine. So then, on the morning of that Saturday, I went to Richmond during that time. But for some reason, I waited and waited at the place where he told me to go. But I just couldn't find him. And, like, I was waiting and looking at my watch ticking for a long time. And then from 9, it turned to 9:30, to 9:45, to 10. And then I'm like, okay, oh, great. This means I'll have to miss Brother Stephen Kong sharing. And so I waited and waited, and for some reason, he didn't show up. And I was like, okay, is this just a big joke? And so yes, I prayed, and I tried to contact that person, but I couldn't find that person. So afterwards, I guess some of the brothers here know, later a group of us had lunch, and so I joined in later. And so actually that day, it seemed like I was really relaxed during lunchtime, and I was hanging out with some of the brothers and sisters. But in reality, inside me, I was actually, I had a great anxiety in my heart, because I actually really wanted this work opportunity. So then later on in the afternoon, I went home and I prayed and kept checking my email and hoping that that person would actually reply. And then to my amazement, he said that, oh, there's just something that suddenly happened and there was an emergency. So he offered to meet again on Sunday afternoon. So then I'm like, okay, I didn't really want to miss any of the meetings in the morning, but I go, okay, since I can meet you in the afternoon, I'll just try to meet you one more time. And then it was really, really amazing, because I think throughout that time, the Lord taught me how to rely on Him and not on my own wisdom or like my own planning as to how things ought to be. Because I think He would provide His own timing for everything. And so I was able to meet with Him that Sunday afternoon, and I was really amazed at how everything just went so smoothly. Like, not only did I not have to present, like, my whole portfolio or answer any really difficult questions that He has for me, and basically all we did was just walk around Richmond Center, and He asked me, like, a lot of things that weren't really related to my position. And basically this is, like, position with Elections BC, and it was just to my just really great amazement how things were just so easygoing, and like he would ask me things about music or every other thing that was not related to what the job entails. And then just after a short walk we had, he just picked a place and go, okay, why don't we just sign a contract? And then things were just as simple as that. And I was just really grateful at how, like, the Lord showed me that He has His own ways and that anything would be possible with Him. And I shouldn't limit myself to think He should work in the way I expect Him to work in. Yeah, so that's just my sharing. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, seeing the time, we're going to be ending our open mic sharing here. But I'd like us to end off with a song. So Sam, upstairs, I'm wondering if you could find us House of the Lord. No? Okay. We'll see. In the meantime, just really encouraged by brothers and sisters sharing, especially we saw some of our older brothers and sisters coming up to share their experiences. It's very precious. So we're very touched that you came up to share about your learning and your experiences. It makes us feel very part of a family. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming up to share. Oh, you want to come and share? Okay, please. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Sorry. One thing that really touched me at the retreat was the verse, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Stephen Kong shared that, you know, like the sparrows, they're not worth a lot. And they said for two copper coins, five sparrows can be sold. So basically, for one copper coin, you can buy two sparrows with one copper coin. So with two copper coins, you can have four. And then the fifth one would be like a free one. And then so in order for them to give it free means like it's not worth a lot, right? That's why they're able to afford to give it out for free. And then, but yet, that fifth sparrow cannot even fall to the ground without God's permission. And so, when I reread this verse again, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. It's not God will number your hairs. They are already numbered. So even like God knows like which number fell to the floor today, or how many you have lost. Spoke comfort to me because he said that every details of your life, God knows it to that minute detail, to even things like we don't care for, but God knows it, and it's to that minute detail. So His care for you is to that detailed care. So that really comforted me a lot. And then the hymn that we sang that morning, it was, if you don't know this hymn, it's very encouraging. It's 448. It's called God Will Take Care of You. And I'll just quickly read the verses to you. So 448, it says, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. Verse 3, all you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Trust Him, and you will be satisfied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. So whatever comes your way, whatever like the unknown or trials that you're going through or all your worries, God already knows to the minute detail of everything that's going to happen and the things in your life, even the things that you don't care for, but He knows that detail. And that's the kind of care that He's caring for. Taking care of you with.
If not, we're just going to end off today with a song and then a closing prayer. can ask Brothers and Sisters to bow your heads. Dear Lord, we just want to give you thanks for this time of sharing, Lord. We thank you for all the precious lessons that you've been teaching us. Lord, thank you for sharing from your heart to us. Lord, may we really take your words and your encouragement to heart. May we learn to exercise godliness. May we not just hear the words and not do them, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you for all the brothers and sisters here. Thank you for teaching us how to grow up. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.